her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They make it.
Are we having fun yet, Brewers fans? Are we having fun? Because yesterday, man, in Chicago, Let's Go Brewers chants raining down at Wrigley Field. I thought to myself, man, this is fun. Brewers get the first win yesterday of the series. Now, the second game was postponed. They'll make it up today as a doubleheader. But as I'm watching the Brewers get the victory yesterday, 7-0 over their division rival, the Chicago Cubs, as they continue to put distance between themselves and the Northsiders. I believe it is a 9-game lead in the division. I said, man, this is a quintessential 2025 Brewers win we got right here. Okay, hear me out. You got Freddie Peralta going out there, giving them exactly what they needed, which was a quality start on a day that their bullpen needed a rest. He goes out there, gets in a little trouble, gets in a little jammy jam in the fourth, gets out of the jammy jam. And then the team, just death by a thousand cuts. You got the run in the third, the run in the fifth, the run in the sixth before they were able to kind of explode for four in the eighth to the tune of a 7-run shutout against Craig Counsell and company. And I thought, this is exactly how this Brewers team has been operating for the last month or so, Gabe.
It was fun to watch yesterday.
Is that our focus now? That's our focus?
What do you mean?
Well, we're getting the number one seed, so keep the Cubs out of the playoffs? Would that be a double whammy? Or do we even care?
I think they have they're the wild card team right now.
They are the top wild card in the National League.
But they're fading.
Yeah,
they are fading. And did you see that they benched one of their best players yesterday? Craig Counsell saying, like, hey, this guy needs a break. We're going to have to sit him down for a bit. Because things are going so badly.
And not just like, oh, he's going to sit for a game. No, they're going to give him multiple days
Mullet
off.
Guy?
Different guy.
Mullet guy?
You know.
What do you mean, I know?
Remember Peter Crow?
Yeah, but he doesn't have a mullet.
Yes, he does.
It's the new mullet guy. It's the Casey guy. He's got the mullet, right? The red hair?
Yeah.
There's no chance you've seen the red hair.
No.
Then that's helmet.
No, because, yeah.
Helmet hair.
Helmet hair, yes. Yeah. Was Pete Crow Armstrong, PCA.
Yes.
Peter Crow here. Yeah.
But no, he is not the one that was benched. They actually benched their best player.
Which is who?
Kyle Tucker.
Okay. Came over from the Astros. So yes, Gabe, you and I are lockstep here. Like, fun to watch. Again, gave you the emotional roller coaster of Freddie putting those guys on. In the fourth inning, he couldn't find the strike zone. He just couldn't. And I think we have talked a little bit about some of Freddie's...
If he missed armside one more time.
What were you going to do?
Come on,
man.
Like, make an adjustment. Everything's going inside on the righty. Figure it out, man.
Maybe it was windy.
He did figure.
Maybe it was windy.
You know, it is the Windy City, Chewy. I didn't factor that in. I should have thought about that.
I mean, I fell over a few times Friday because it was really windy.
Or
at 11 o'clock.
Or yeah, exactly. Or
11 o'clock.
Or my bad wheel.
Yeah. I'd like to propose another possible explanation, sir.
I don't want to see my Florida friends for 6 weeks. Just leave me alone. They're so naughty. They're so immature is what the problem is.
Oh, this coming from you?
They bring me down.
Is that possible?
Yes. So doubleheaders today.
Yep.
Okay.
And
who's
Brewers,
on the mound?
The Brewers played it perfect, by the way, because who did they bring up, Gabe, to start the second game of the doubleheader yesterday?
Chad Patrick.
They brought Chad Patrick up so that he could start that game. That game gets postponed. So now everybody else gets to kind of hold their spot, essentially. I assume Patrick is sliding? Is that what they...
Yeah, I mean, he'll throw today because you're allowed the extra 27th. He's the 27th man because you're allowed an extra guy when you have a doubleheader scheduled like this. And he was the extra man called up for the doubleheader yesterday. And so he'll just stay with the team and he'll pitch one of the games today.
So I love the way that this team is approaching things now, because you can make the argument that as the team with the best record in baseball and a 9-game lead in your division, you are no longer the quote-unquote underdog. You are no longer the quote-unquote average Joes. And while that moniker might stick for the whole season just based on who is making up the roster. But I want to take a listen to what Caleb Durbin had to say yesterday, because I love this mindset. I love this attitude.
Feels like we're sharks out there, like we smell blood, you know, so once we get runners on and start scraping those first couple runs across, we want that big inning because that can almost end the game. You know, that puts a lot of pressure on the other team, puts a lot of pressure on their lineup to score runs. And on the flip side, when we're giving up runs, we don't panic, you know, so it's definitely you'd kind of feel that pressure too, but we don't, and we just really like applying it.
Yeah, but I talked to three of my buddies yesterday. Who are a little more than casual. No, they're Brewers fans.
Okay.
All right. And they're in my camp.
Which is, remind us.
In my camp, and I'll flip the words, I am optimistically cautious. And that's what they are.
What is the difference between optimistically cautious and cautiously optimistic?
Because the cautious is the lead dog. Right?
You know optimistic. What? That actually makes sense to me.
So it's more positive to lead with the optimism.
You guys are just, and I don't want to be Debbie Downer, because I'm a realist.
Don't you?
I'm a realist. There's scars that you cannot get over. Look, I'm sorry.
No,
they're like, yes, I am optimistically cautious. That's where I am at right now.
But this is like saying that you fell in love with a girl and it didn't work out. And then you fell in love with another girl and it didn't work out. And you're sitting there going, you know what? Screw love. I'm never going to let myself fall in love again. When the perfect person could be out there. Like, this season could be the season.
It could very well be. Could very well be. But you know me, I always go back to football. And I'm trying to equate this to a Packer season within the last 15 years, 20 years.
Well, I mean, if they end up losing, then it's the 2011 Packers who went 15-1 and then lost right away.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if it goes the way that you're fearful of it going, that's what it could be. I guess I just don't care, man. I got my blinders on.
That's fine. That's fine.
I am on this ride until the wheels fall off.
I'm just saying there's a handful. I don't know if a lot of is the word, but there are a handful of people in my camp. Which is fine. It's okay place to be.
Your camp, again, just to be clear, is optimistically cautious. It feels like a space we could exist in.
Okay.
I mean, you said you're cautiously optimistic when we were talking about something that maybe it wasn't Brewers. Maybe
no.
It was...
This is I'm full bore. Like I got the foot down on the gas pedal and I'm staying there until the gas runs out.
I thought that you would love Caleb Durbin talking about how these guys...
That's how they should be, you know? But can they still play the underdog card because they're the Brewers? Because I would much rather play the underdog. Well, maybe.
Well, so here, I want to hear from Pat Murphy. Because okay. Pat Murphy has this great quote again yesterday. Yesterday, in the media availability between games, the second one, of course, as you know, got postponed, had this to say about his team.
We got a bunch of guys in there that Topps hasn't even made their baseball cards yet. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, you're like, who is this guy? We're still learning each other's names, some of them, you know what I mean? Because they're just not recognizable major league names. But it's fun, you know what I mean? It's fun. And then you just try to compete every night. We don't take anyone lightly because we can't. Because look, most of these guys were in AAA. It's just better to have hungry guys that are cliffhangers. They're just wondering if they're going to be back in AAA next week. You know what I mean?
But the problem with that is, you know, there are no names. And the cautiously is, will they revert back to that? You know what I'm saying?
But sometimes once you realize that you can do something at a certain level, then Katie bar the door. You don't sit there and go, I'm going to fall back down. It's, wow, I didn't even realize that I could perform and compete with these type of players. And now that I can, there's no going back, right? You elevate your expectations because the performance and the production has proven you deserve to be there.
Yes.
And the fun part is, again, because to Murph's point, it has been a lot of no-name guys like Andrew Monasterio. Outside of Milwaukee, who the hell knows who Andrew Monasterio is? Nobody. Barely anybody knows who Caleb Durbin is, and he's been really good this year. Same thing with Isaac Collins, and he's one of the front runners for Rookie of the Year. So you've got all these guys who are contributing right now, and arguably one of your best players isn't even on the team right now.
Yeah.
And no, Jackson Turio was getting incredibly hot. Yes. He was starting to swing the bat like he was late last season before he pulled the hammy. So hopefully he comes back, and he provides a lot more stability to the lineup as well.
But right now for me, it's like, okay, can we get there? Can we just start?
Oh,
can
man.
We start?
Like, I want to enjoy this. So we've got the five here against Chicago, right? We've got the five against Chicago. So like you said, bury them and make it difficult for them over the last 5 weeks to make their own playoff push. Then you get distracted with the festivities going on this weekend. Euchre Celebration of Life, Sunday at the ballpark. And you've got other series left against Toronto, Philly, some playoff contenders that are nice. Hey, this is how we're going to stay sharp. And yeah, I want to enjoy the next 5 weeks before we get to every pitch matters. And I'm not getting up from my couch to go grab a beer because I don't want to miss a damn pitch. Right?
Like, yeah.
So I want to enjoy these next 5 weeks before we get to the high impact pressure packed of what playoff baseball is.
I want to take a moment and just congratulate and appreciate all of the Brewers fans who made it down to Wrigley Field yesterday. The fact that you could hear "Let's go Brewers" chants, not just in the ballpark, but on the broadcast, is a testament.
Sends that one deep in the left. Durbin's going to watch it fly.
Wow, that's loud.
In Chicago.
Yeah, I watched a little bit.
In Chicago.
Yeah. No, that's awesome.
They are 30-5 since the 4th of July. I'm going to say that again. 30-5 since the 4th of July. I think we should just start using that as the barometer every day. 31-5, 32-5. I'll be like the count crack here on Jed Gabe.
I don't think he goes that high. I think that's the problem.
I thought we were going with knee high.
I was
going to
say, it
kind of
sounds like knee high, which brings the blammer into play.
Yeah, I thought you said you were bringing in corn.
It's hideous. He's such a liar. You know, look, I grew up on a farm.
Yeah.
Okay. I can tell corn that was picked yesterday as opposed to corn that was picked a week ago.
Sure. Seems like something that only you'd be able to do in this group.
Oh, I picked it yesterday, bro. I'm like, no, you didn't. Don't lie to me because it tasted like butt. It was terrible. I threw it away. It was just like.
Wait, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
How do you cook your corn?
Steam it.
So you get like a steamer on top of a pot of water or something?
You know what's really good? Here's what you do.
So you don't boil it.
The best is, Gabe.
Corn roast.
Hands down. The best. But you don't have time to put the stuff in the water.
So that's plus when they stay in the husk. You stay in the husk
so old.
And you put them in the water
that's
and then
ideal.
You throw them on the
that's
grill.
Ideal.
Is that what a corn roast is?
So a corn roast, so you get the fire going. It's an open fire. Then you get the kind of a grill grate over the top of it. Yeah, you soak the corn for however long you want to soak it for. Throw it on there. Cover it. With
burlap,
I use burlap.
It.
Yeah, burlap can be tough to come by sometimes.
A towel
cover
that
with burlap.
One of your friends left over that haven't claimed it in like a couple weeks. You use that.
Gross.
So then that traps
gross.
The steam in there. Plus, you get the flavor from the open flame.
But you know, hear he's just using old beach towels that people left around. Who knows what's on that?
There's a time limit.
I mean, he put it through the washer. I'm sure.
No,
wow.
I threw it away.
Wow, I was gonna say, what a gamble by you, Gabe, that he put something through the washing machine.
Try this. What's the spray butter?
The spray butter.
We all know it's a spray butter.
Spray butter.
Yeah.
Use that. You know what you put on it? Lowry's.
Oh, I love Lowry's.
It's outstanding.
Yeah, that is good.
Oh, is it good?
Did you just think you broke the world by using a different type
of
salt?
You said go to break.
You usually put butter and salt. What if you put seasoned salt?
I did see a guy. The reason I brought this up was on Instagram the other day. I saw a post that said this guy did 40 different methods of cooking corn. And he said that the best method to get the most plump kernels of corn is to put them in a pot of water. And then they're already in the water, right? And then boil the water. Leave it in for only about 6 minutes. And then he said, take it out. Don't, because what I always have done is boiled the water.
Yeah, and then you put
them
in there.
Yeah, so I was like blown away. And he's like, and it only takes 6 minutes. And I was like, well, that seems like a lot easier than the things I've been doing. So PSA for all of you corn cookers out there, that is apparently the best way to cook corn. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We got Jason Wilde coming up next. Maybe you've seen the rumors, the updates on Trey Hendrickson and Micah Parsons. Maybe you've seen the Packers name mentioned in some of those talks. We will talk to Jason Wilde about that and Jordan Love right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Let me tell you about our friends at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. When you want that long-lasting comfort and reliability, it's easy to trust Pella. Every piece specifically constructed for you and your home, always designed with innovation, rigorously tested for quality and performance to last for years to build and built to create long-term energy savings. That's what they did for me. Front door, everybody keeps complimenting me. Every time they come over to the house for the first, oh, I love that front door. Where'd you get it from? Of course, only one place to get it from. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. If you order by August 31st, get 0% interest for up to 5 years. Visit PellaWI.com today.
Ready, down, Hunt. All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project this year? Exterior Pros and Baths is here to help you score big with quality home exterior and shower upgrades. Visit extpros.com. Also brought to you by Lakeland Supply. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com.
Always great to get the insight from 1265 from our friend and teammate Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason. How are you today?
I'm great, everybody. How are you?
Good. I didn't know that Matt LaFleur doesn't like 7-on-7. Was that new? No, so you knew that.
Yeah, he's been very vocal in that since he got here. He's just, and again, I understand his reasoning, right? Because it's not realistic. Unless you're playing in the flag football league, then it's very realistic. But yeah, it was nice of him to adjust that for his quarterback, so he wasn't in as much danger with his practice with a baggie on his hand while it was pouring down rain.
So this is a good thing, then, that Jordan Love was able to get out there at practice yesterday. Although, what was the video we saw of him sort of like simulating throws and simulating taking the snap and stuff? Did anybody talk about what that was about?
Yeah, I mean, look, they just don't want him exacerbating that thumb after 6 days after surgery by even catching the ball snapped from a shotgun situation or... You know, Chewy being a long snapper, I mean, he knows the kind of velocity that ball comes back.
Mm-hmm.
Especially given how good of a snapper he was. And then obviously when you put your hand under the center's butt and the ball comes back, it comes back with some force. So they just, they are trying to get him. And I was joking about it because it was going on during our show. But if we're being honest, like, the more he can do, the better. So at first I thought it was kind of hokey, but I mean, he ran a couple of possessions through three touchdowns. Like, it's better than nothing, I guess. So I kind of came around on that.
Jason, who's winning the left tackle battle? Or is it kind of by default right now because Walker's hurt?
Well, I think Walker's going to do 11 on 11 today. He did a little bit on Tuesday of last week. Then I don't think he did the joint practice. So I think he's going to do stuff today. That's the weird thing about this competition. I mean, last year, you know, he won on a knockout like Tyson Spinks 91 seconds into the bout.
Mm-hmm.
This year, you know, for the first week and a half, Walker was the only one taking left tackle snaps because, you know, Banks was out and Elton was out. And so then they finally get the chance to have those guys healthy and have Jordan Morgan actually get to play left tackle. And then Rashid Walker hurts his groin, then he's out. So they've never actually had the genuine competition. I think today, I think Thursday, I think the game on Saturday, I think their hope is that they will have those three opportunities to have them both on the field taking turns, alternating series.
Do you think they want him week one, first start at left tackle to go against Aiden Hutchinson?
Well, you wouldn't think so, right?
Yeah.
I mean, look, as much as no one is confusing Rashid Walker with Anthony Munoz, right? But at the same time, like, he started 35 games. He's been a pretty darn good football player mm-hmm. for them. So I guess I'm still curious because the other part of it, and I know you can't operate this way, but if he is your starting left tackle and Jordan Morgan is your sixth man, your Ricky Pierce, if you will, old Bucks reference, then you're in a great spot because then any injury on the line, he can play the four, the two tackles, the two guards.
Mm-hmm.
If for some reason it's Elton at center, you shift Sean Ryan over, and then he goes in at right guard. And so you're, the disruption is minimal. If one of your guards gets hurt, and Rashid Walker lost the left tackle job, he doesn't play guard. I mean, yeah. He is basically just a tackle. So it just gets a lot more complicated then if there's an injury.
Jason, given the injury to Love and all the injuries at wide receiver, how confident should Packers fans be that this team's going to be ready to go when the season kicks off in 2.5 weeks?
Yeah, I'll be honest, Gabe. That's, you know, I wrote about it the other day, and when I asked LaFleur, I always love it when I get that's a great question. I prefer it when he puts my name at the end of it. That's a great question, Jason. But he didn't on this one. He just said, that's a great question. His answer, not great. He didn't have one, really. Like, it is a legitimate concern. In fact, I would argue that of all the and look, there's injuries at other places, and there's unproven guys and all kinds of stuff like that. But I would say that should be the number one concern between now and the start of the season on September 7th is, what is their offense going to look like? How much are they going to compromise or alter what they wanted to do because of how little time all these guys have gotten together, right? I mean, you know, they got Romeo back yesterday. And Matthew Golden has been there the whole time. Matthew Golden is the one guy, you know, knock on wood, who has stayed healthy the entire camp at the top of that depth chart. But otherwise, I mean, they practiced and then played the game in Indianapolis because they dressed Golden but didn't play him without their top six wide receivers. Top six. Like, I don't care who you are. You play without your starting quarterback and your top six wide receivers. This is the kind of brilliant insight that you get from me when I'm on the program. you're cooked. You're in really big trouble. And so while I think they expect all of those seven people to be available to them for the opener, how much work will they have all gotten together? How far along will Jordan Love's thumb truly be? Will it be 100% healed? Will it be a complete zero non-factor? How much chemistry, even though many of those guys, they have history with Love, you know, they obviously are tweaking the offense to some degree because they didn't like the way the season finished. How much will they go two tight ends and give the ball to Josh Jacobs even more than they already do? Like, these are all great questions, as Matt LaFleur would say, and you know, I look forward to seeing how they... And the other drawback to this, frankly, Gabe, is that after Thursday, I think they go back to their... They kick us out after stretch and individual drills. So we won't even get to see how they look in 11-on-11 when they are trying to kind of put those pieces back together like Humpty Dumpty.
Jason will be hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy as he does three times a week here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. All right, I want to take a listen to this Ian Rapoport sound yesterday from the Pat McAfee show, because in addition to obviously the guys that are currently on the team, Packers being mentioned with other guys who are not. Take a listen.
I would expect that the Packers would be among the teams interested. And I would say I would expect the Packers would be among the teams really interested.
Okay.
They have paid Jordan Love. They have a bunch of really good young players, but they haven't. There's some guys like Quay Walker they have not paid. Dak Dom they paid, but they have money to spend, and they are really good. And so, like, that's the kind of team that I would say, if Micah was going to be traded, that he'd be going to, because it's like, we need one final piece. This guy is an absolute dog. He's worth all the money, so pay him all the money. Mm-hmm. I mean, God only knows what Mulugeta would make that contract. It'd be all of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it'd be worth it, because you'd get Micah Parsons.
What stood out to you about what Ian Rapoport had to say yesterday on the Pat McAfee show, Jason?
Yeah, so a couple things. I mean, one, as someone who is not nearly as renowned as Ian, but appears on a number of programs, most of the time, I would say this is the case for both of us, when we put something out there, there's at least something behind it, right? I don't think that's him just throwing spaghetti at the wall. So I'm sure he's talked to Mulugeta and probably has been told, hey, one of the places that Micah would love to go would be Green Bay, right? Now, again, that doesn't mean that you can, like, wish it into existence. but he's certainly been texting with Mulugeta. So clearly they wanted this out there. Do I think it would be, you know, all these guys that things are acrimonious, and obviously this one has been really acrimonious with the way Jera has chosen to handle it. A lot of times the guy still, he gets paid and he's happy and everything's fine, right? And he stays where he was. I'm not saying it's the same as trading Luka Doncic, but it's in the neighborhood. And why on earth they would do this is beyond me, especially to an NFC contender who, oh, by the way, is on their schedule this year. So, do I think this is likely? No, but I am sure that there are things that Ian has heard. The question I have, Pelissero is really tight with LaFleur. So if Tom had said something about the Packers' interest, that would perk my ears up a little bit. This feels like maybe the player likes the idea. And look, Chewy, you could speak to this better than me. Like, he's not as accomplished as Reggie was when you guys got him, but it's not dissimilar. And on top of that, you know, for all the time and airtime we've spent talking about Trey Hendrickson, Trey Hendrickson's a 30 to 31 year old player who's on the trade market. That's not what Goody wants. This guy is the kind of guy that Goody would pay, right? He's still young.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that make sense. I still don't think it's anything even approaching likely, but it sure is interesting to talk about, and I'm on board with that.
Jason, how frustrated are they with Marshawn Lloyd?
Yeah, I love it when I'm going to do this twice with LaFleur, but you know, I asked him flat out, you know, is there something that he could be doing that would be preventative of this? Because LaFleur criticized, I mean, not harshly, but he criticized Evan Williams during the offseason because he missed a bunch of games last year with soft tissue injuries. And he's a really good player. Like, he really is Micah Hyde, not Micah Parsons 2.0. And LaFleur said he's got part of being a pro is you have to learn how to take care of your body and do a better job of that. And Evan took that to heart. In Lloyd's case, when I asked him that, asked LaFleur that, he basically said that this is just bad luck, that they think that he's been doing everything he needs to be put in a position to be healthy. I mean, they sent him down to Madison to badger athletic performance. I mean, maybe he's just, you know, like that guy, I don't know, there's an old cartoon when, like, my parents were young, there was a guy that, like, walked around and he always had a rain cloud over him. Joe Blitz, I think he was called. I think that's Marshawn Lloyd to this point. I mean, it's just...
They get tired of this fairly quickly, Jason, yeah, I mean, don't they?
Of course they do, and of course they're frustrated, but he's a third-round pick.
Yeah,
right?
I know.
Which, by the way, I mean, Tucker Kraft is now the exception that proves the rule, right? Like, Lloyd has got this going on. And by the way, now Savion Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they should just, if they're trading for Micah Parsons, please include the third round pick. Do everyone a favor.
Jason, with roster cut down a week away, what are the last couple position groups you're taking a look at to see if somebody can make the roster in the next 7 days?
Yeah, they've got to figure out what they're going to have available for the opener at wide receiver. So, you know, Julian Hicks and Cornelius Johnson both spent all of last year on the practice squad. They're the two guys that really popped in the game. They've got a year in the system. So, you know, are they just back on the practice squad? I'm not saying that they've been good enough that, somebody's going to claim them. But that, to me, is going back to our earlier conversation. They have to figure out what they're doing at corner. Like, Kalen King has played a fair amount. He's a former seventh-round pick. But, I didn't think he looked all that great in the game on Saturday. Isaiah Simmons, I'm very curious if they are, you know, he cost them next to nothing. So there's not a lot of risk there. And there's upside. But, man, he has not been great on defense in the two games he's played. Like, he looks – and I talked to him yesterday, and he basically admitted – that he has really struggled, which I respect him for doing that. So, you know, Christian Welch should have made this team last year, linebacker and special teams. If they hose him again, he should be picketing outside of Lambeau Field because he is someone they need on their special teams units. But they got to figure out what their backup linebackers are. There's a couple of defensive linemen that are still working. And then I don't think their depth on the offensive line is very good. And Glover, who, you know, obviously didn't play very well in the playoff game, he's done for the year. So they got some decisions to make there as well. And then how is running back going to shake out with Marshawn Lloyd back on the injured list?
A lot of good stuff from you, Jason, but I got to tell you, the thing that I appreciate the most was you reminding us, because I did not know this, that they have sent Lloyd to those experts in Madison. Because when I first saw the injury, I was like, can we just have an Uber basically going back and forth between Green Bay and Madison? As soon as a soft tissue injury pops up, you just shuttle them right there. Since that would seem to be, you know, what saved Christian Watson, or at least we hope so. But yes, thank you. It makes sense that they would have sent him there, much like they did Watson and much like they did Eric Stokes. Jason, we appreciate you hanging out. Have a good one. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
He's Jason Wilde. You can hear him on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every day right here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee.
Hot deals on frozen pizza this week at Sendix. Today is the last day, so make sure you head to Sendix to take advantage of this deal. All your Palermo's family of brands favorites, just $4.99. That's right. You heard it. Stock up on Connie's, Urban Pie, the new Cheez-It pizza, and the all-new Stranger Things pizza that comes with a collectible sticker in every single box. That's right. All those great Palermo's brands, just $4.99 through today. Today's the last day of the sale going on at Sendix, so load up. Get a bigger freezer if you have to. You want to load up on all your Palermo's favorites at Sendix, just $4.99 with that sale ending today.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Hey, everyone who I let try borscht likes it. They don't love it, but it's got it's a liver.
What an endorsement.
This is your pitch.
But hold on.
Hey, yeah, like, guys, good luck. I don't even have to talk anymore.
On 94.5 ESPN.
I want to be clear on this to begin this conversation. I don't think the Cowboys have any interest in trading Micah Parsons. So to the comments that we were talking to Jason Wilde about from Ian Rappaport yesterday on the Pat McAfee show, I give it like an 8%. Honestly.
I'm at 2.
Well, okay.
I'll go to 1.
Jerry Jones would have to fire himself. That's how dumb of a move it is.
Well, he could have a medical episode. Okay. There are things that could happen.
Botox went to the wrong spot of the brain.
Maybe somebody blackmails him. I don't know. There are things that could happen, which is why I'm not willing to give it a 0% chance. But it does feel interesting, guys. And I have said this now for a few weeks. And obviously, Trey Hendrickson is still having his standoff with his team as well. It is interesting to me that the Packers are a team that Micah Parsons would be interested in, because Micah Parsons is only going to a team like that if he feels like they're close. So that, to me, Gabe, is a feather in the Packers' cap. Again, if we believe Jason's theory, which is that he is talking to the agent at Athletes First for the information. So that is one thing. But two, does that mean that everyone else in the league is looking at the Packers' defensive line situation and going, oh, yeah, they're cooked?
I mean, probably. I mean, it's great that Lucas Van Ness is having a good camp. I'll believe he's going to be a productive player when I see him beat somebody and have a big game in the regular season. Micah Parsons is a bona fide superstar in the league. Like, would be an instant upgrade. Chewy asked me before the show, would you give up Rashawn Gary or Lucas Van Ness for Micah Parsons? Both. I'd give up both. Ship them off. Who cares? Micah Parsons is that good, but because he's that good, that's why Jerry's not actually going to trade him. Like, but yeah. It's a compliment, though, for the Packers that Micah Parsons, a player like Micah Parsons, who would obviously want to compete and compete for a while, goes, hey, that's a young team.
And compete for championships, yes. Right? Like, we're sitting here talking about high level, not just like winning
exactly.
The division.
Like, oh, and if I go there, I can be a big difference there. I can help take that defense to another level. And then we've got myself, we've got Xavier McKinney on that side that can, you know, be difference makers. Maybe Adrian Cooper continues to grow, and you've got different makers on all three levels. So I think it's a compliment that Micah Parsons is going, yeah, that would be a team I could go to, and we would be competitive for years and have multiple opportunities to win. But also without Micah Parsons, yeah, I think that defense is
a lot. But the reason he said Green Bay, I mean, if he said Carolina Panthers, you think Jerry Jones gives a crap? He said Green Bay to piss off Jerry Jones, right? And get him a little panicky. Yeah, this is the game they play.
Yes.
Now, this about, it's not happening. It's not, it's, this would be one of the dumbest trades ever. And Micah Parsons deserves, he deserves a contract because everyone else is doing it. All the other DNs got paid. He's got 1 year left. It's the fifth year option,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so he's making a lot.
He deserved it. He had. Hendrickson deserves it, but not as much as Parsons because there's the age thing, you know? And that's why they're battling over guaranteed money there. It's because, like, dude, he's 31. That's Achilles.
Still led the league for that position.
I know, but he's 31 years old.
Problem now, is
Goody,
a teammate.
The thing that hurts the Packers is Goody's not trading for Hendrickson.
Correct.
Because you got to give up draft capital and you got to pay a 31-year-old. So that's not happening.
I would agree.
The only way Parsons happens is if Jerry Jones is.
Well, I think Jerry and Steven and Charlotte and Jerry Jr. Like, it would have to be the entire Jones family would have to lose their mind.
You don't get rid of stud young players. That's GM school first day, right?
Yeah. I mean, look, this is, I mean, I would be willing to bet everything that I have in my bank account that Monday or Tuesday of opening week, probably Tuesday because Monday's Labor Day, that Tuesday, everybody's going to be talking about the Eagles. Can they repeat? And the Eagles are playing the Cowboys that Thursday. Jerry's going to want to be in those headlines on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
That Tuesday night, Jerry is going to put a large contract in front of Micah Parsons that he signs. And then that is the headline everybody's talking about going into Cowboys-Eagles.
Yeah. So I want to be clear. Conventional wisdom is that every team would be interested in a player of Micah Parsons' level, of Micah Parsons' talent, right? Like, we understand that. But to hear again that the Packers would be interested, to me, is another glaring, like, spotlight on they're not good enough at that position. If the Packers had a future Hall of Famer playing in that spot, they wouldn't be being mentioned in this conversation. Oh. And I think that Goody needs to take a really hard look in the mirror and go, God, I hope that Lucas Van Ness continues to do what he has done in training camp. I hope that he continues to ascend and be the guy that we want him to be. But everybody else is looking at this going, not yet. This team needs an upgrade. If they want to compete in the way that they say they want to compete. Now, I am seeing someone on the talk and text line saying that Hendrickson and the Bengals agreed to a deal. I'm not seeing that anywhere. Hendrickson standing firm in Bengals contract dispute is the last thing I'm seeing on ESPN from 12 hours ago. But perhaps the Twitter sphere has broken news that we haven't seen yet.
Ohio State would want Micah Parsons if he could come back to college. They would probably pay him to guarantee another national championship. That's why he's not.
I think it's, though, we could take from this is everyone is looking at the Packers and saying, seems like they're a defensive piece away from being a real Super Bowl favorite. And if everyone else is evaluating your team that way, you should be doing all you can to make it happen. Now, you can't just force people to trade their best players. That's certainly not how deals work. But it should mean there is a relentless pursuit of finding an option that will elevate your team.
All right, well, let me ask you this. If by some miracle they did get him and we have him at 8 in the power rankings right now, what would they bump up to with Micah Parsons?
Ooh, top 3 for me. Does that seem aggressive?
That 3, 4, 5.
I wouldn't put him ahead of Detroit quite yet. Because we just talked with Jason about how this offensive line's got question marks. Everybody's injured at the wide receiver room.
What did I say, 8?
Yeah.
3 5, is my number. 3
5,
is where I'd put him.
4?
I'd put 4 or 5? I'd probably put him at 6, just outside.
Really?
Chewy is shocked that somebody is out Debbie Downering him this morning.
I just ruined it.
Saying they're the 6th best team is Debbie Downering?
Well, because he said 5.
Haters.
No, yeah. Because of the 3 of us, you went the lowest. That's my point. Chewy usually goes to that extreme.
Yeah, look at who's in the lead when it comes to the Brewers right now. I said 5 losses in August. What do they have, 1? They have 1, right?
Yeah, they do.
Yep.
It's pretty good.
You definitely said, undisputed, nobody has challenged that you said 5
I love
losses.
How the tape disappears when I say something of ilk. Oh, that's ilk? Weird.
I wasn't here that day.
Yeah.
I literally wasn't.
So, I don't think I was either.
So I'm going to address something very quickly that drives me absolutely bananas. So good on you, Michael. Goody's not going after Parsons. They mentioned in the conversation, Jen, because of speculation from Rap Sheet, not from info from Green Bay or Dallas. Rap does not have sources, Jen. It's just speculation. Michael, and anyone else who subscribes to this belief, that's not how the insider game works. You never say something without some information. The information might be skewed. The information might not be ultimately end up panning out. But he is not going on the Pat McAfee show and saying something unless he has some information. I think Jason's theory, which is that Ian Rapoport talked to his agent, David yes. Mulgaletta, is probably accurate.
Yeah.
But that is coming from the player's camp. It is their job to represent the player, whether Jerry Jones likes that or not. So I just want to be clear that, again, these insiders who have made their money and who have made their reputation and staked their reputation on having information, they just don't make stuff up. They have somebody who told them yeah. something, and that is why they say it on the air.
It's posturing by the agent. Yeah, that's all it is. The agent probably said it like, oh, I called Green Bay. They're interested. Who knows who they called, but this is negotiations, you know?
I also think people think a deal that doesn't end up going through means it was like inaccurately reported. There's
yeah.
so many reasons stuff fall apart all the time because an owner says, why don't we look for a trade for this guy? Everyone agrees and then says, no, I don't want to do that. Or somebody is forced to be traded by an owner. Like, there's so many things that work in the background.
Yeah, look at Tony Gonzalez with the Packers. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was almost signed, sealed, and delivered.
That was done. That was agreed to.
And then last second, they came back
and said, actually, we want a second-round pick, not a third-round pick.
Yeah.
Like, that was agreed to and then ultimately fell apart. Like, that was right there. Like, I do believe that Brian Gutekunst and the Green Bay Packers are interested in Micah Parsons, and I believe that Goody would be aggressive in terms of the compensation he would give up to get Micah Parsons.
I agree.
The problem is,
they ain't giving him up.
The Cowboys aren't just going to ultimately give him up.
We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Much more to get to as the show rolls on. We've got Jeff Levering coming up in the second hour. But guys, when I need to get somewhere on time and in style, I use Accutrans Group. They are my trusted ride during the football season, during all my travel, and they are our preferred transportation for Green Bay game day. At Good Karma Brands, we rely on Accutrans Group because they know how to handle everything from corporate travel and conventions to private events and tailgates. They learn your preferences and are always on time, and they make booking simple. Veteran owned, available 24/7, and delivering a first class experience every single time. Whether it's a corporate event, a concert, a wedding, you name it, they will get you there in style. Book your safe and reliable transportation at AccutransGroup.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So overrated.
Come on, his head is a pumpkin.
Yeah, he's so right. Chewy's never been more right
Ed
about anything.
Sheeran.
Chewy was right. Yeah. Holy Chewy was right.
Yeah. Imagine the helmet on that dome. It'd be the first 8.5 size helmet. What the?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Finding the right home is a journey. Sometimes it's quick. Sometimes you have to be patient, but it should always be exciting. And the We Sell Group at Keller Williams understands that. They're not just about closing deals. They're about building relationships and helping you find the right fit. Maybe you're ready to move right now. Maybe you're starting to look, or maybe you're thinking about selling. The We Sell Group is on the journey with you every step of the way. Start your journey today at wesell.kw.com. That's wesell.kw.com. Gabe, because you brought this delightful story to our group chat, I feel like you should set this one up for us. It was a wild one.
I wish there were more details on this story that I just could not find, but apparently there was a 40-year-old man in Connecticut who got stuck in a tube slide. I don't know if he was there with his children. It was not clear in the story. He was in there for a half hour. They had to cut the slide apart in order to free this man. But it looks like he kind of got stuck like
Augustus Goop.
Yes.
But like
Willy Wonka reference there, huh? Yeah. Wow, good job.
But like when the picture of him coming out, he's like folded over with like his head down by his knees.
It was like a birth.
Yeah, like he was just like, it's not like he went down like head first and was like Augustus was just too large of a person to be going down the tube slide.
That has got to be the most embarrassing thing.
I can't imagine, like, I've got so many follow-up questions. Again, you could just Google this, Connecticut man stuck in slide. You can see the news videos that are lacking the information that I want. How did he get stuck in the slide? Was he going after his kid? How did he call for help? If you're stuck in a slide, how are you reaching for your phone to be able to call 911? Thirdly, I'd love to hear that 911 call. 911, what's your emergency?
I'm stuck and I can't get out.
Hey, I want to hear all of this. I want all of this information.
Do they have a picture of the guy? Should he have known?
Well, no, because when I first heard the story, I assumed it was going to be a rather large individual. It wasn't that big of a guy. Again, he got like stuck, like somehow like folded
over.
Yeah,
he's more wedged in there than he is too large to go down the slide.
I have so many follow-up questions on this.
So he just doesn't know how to use a slide then, right? This is user error.
100%.
If he's not too big, right, from a circumference standpoint to go down the slide, then this is a, have you ever used a slide before? Do you know how to use a slide? You're supposed to put your feet first or your face, you know, if you're adventurous, you can go hands first down the slide. But like, how do you get folded in a slide?
It's like he was almost like rolling. I don't know.
I think there must be a level of impairment here. And I mean, drugs or alcohol related.
Or he's a narp.
I mean, you can't know. You just can't be too unathletic for a slide. You just sit down.
You'd be shocked. Yes, I think you can be too unathletic for a slide.
Is that the next test for Strofe?
Yes, and put it on the poll. Can you be too unathletic to go down a slide? You think you can?
Yeah.
Shouldn't matter. Sticking your level of athleticism should not. Well, but he didn't.
He didn't even get to that point.
He didn't even get to see
it. Be jaws of life
out of a slide.
So embarrassing. You don't live that down, by the way. Mm-mm. That is something that follows you.
He's got to go back
till the end. No,
he has to move.
Time.
He has to move to like Washington. It's cross country.
Oh, sorry, can't buy this house. It's across from a playground. Might end up in a slide again. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on after this.